The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We are blessed when we don't see? How's that possible? Also, preparing for the next 24. And then we're going to close with the Gospels as encounters with Jesus explained.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you. What do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. We can prove that by the noise we made in the beginning of the intro,
yeah.
Right? See, when you hit the mics and you move the mics around, it makes a lot of noise. Johnny! Okay, I'm just saying. All right, so it's a cross between Steve Martin, John Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, just to start off, we're going to give acknowledgement to our sponsor. Our sponsor is Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right,
All right, fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, wind cleanup, flood cleanup.
Is your hand hurting?
He keeps smacking his head. I'm going to have Wonder Julie come in with a ruler.
Next, a ruler? I'm going to tie his hands behind his back.
Tying his hands behind. Johnny's just excited. He's got something he wants to share. He's really pumped up, but... Keep your hands at your side. Okay. Back to Behave. Mr. Restore. Am I mean? Is that mean? I'm nice, though.
You just wanted to smack him with a ruler. I was going to tie him up.
That song just got me excited.
It's an exciting song. Here's the deal with Mr. Restore. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, so you will do very well with them. 50 years of restoration experience. Thousands. I like doing that. Because it gives us like thousands of happy customers. If you need any kind of fire or water or smoke or wind or flood cleanup at all, get in touch with Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. You can go to David Spoon Media and check out our best sponsors piece, and then you will find out that it links to the website as well. We're going to have Clint coming back on the show sometime this month, hopefully this month. Hopefully he's listening because I want to get him and Mo back in. If that is possible, we're going to see what we can get done to get that done in order to get it done. Okay. I got Johnny Hill hanging out with me. How you doing, Johnny?
Doing great, David. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. I did have to make a long drive yesterday, so we brought the grandkids back. So I'll update just real quickly on Easton Scott. Doing about the same, but the kids, my kids, were missing their kids, my grandkids. So after 11 days, we drove the kids up to Tennessee yesterday and then drove back home.
Wow.
It was a long day. I was telling Johnny, it's really fun. At about hour number 7, when you go, I think I've just seen this place 6 or 7 hours ago. It's the problem with driving there and back in a day is that there's no new landscaping.
Are you and Noelle still speaking?
Yeah. No, we get along smashingly. I nod and then she talks.
Do you say, do you play I See Something Green?
That's so funny. Hey, she was working on work stuff, which this is really something funny. She had to do some mathematical equations for Tom Thumb because she's doing this ordering stuff. And every other time ever, she's looking at stuff and reading it in the truck, she gets carsick. But this had to get done for work, and she didn't even mention being carsick, which makes me think sometimes priorities kind of override how people kind of take information in because she had to get it done.
Right.
It's kind of a weird – isn't that a weird thing? I think that's kind of a weird thing. All right. Johnny's hanging out with us. He's got some things he's going to share in the next segment. We're going to talk about something in just a second, but I got to share these two quick things. It's good to see Wonder Julie. I hope everything is going. I hope you had a nice weekend. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Today's my first full day of work.
Wow.
After all that time.
How was that good?
Well, actually coming back in the afternoon a couple of days last week kind of helped me ease into it.
Ah, there you go. Well, we're part of that afternoon thing then, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we helped you ease into it.
Yeah.
We'll send you a bill. All right. For those that don't know, today is National Christmas Card Day. Who do you think made that one up? What do you think? Do you think Christmas card
companies?
Hallmark.
Oh, yeah.
National Pastry Day. That's just good because it's food.
Sara Lee.
National Llama Day. I got nothing
Hawaii.
On this one. Hawaii. Okay. Yes, we're going to get to teaching, folks. Relax. Today on this day in 1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas made its premiere on television. That's pretty interesting. And then here's the one thing I wanted to say, two things. Special birthday to Michael Dorn, born 1952 on this day. You probably don't really care much about him. I do because he is Worf in Star Trek Next Generation. So it's just a little bit of sci-fi thing. And then here's the coolest thing of the day, the most bizarre thing I have read in history yet. On this day in 1947, Grace Hopper discovered the first computer bug. Now wait. This is a real bug. Her team discovered a moth stuck in a relay causing the computer to malfunction, and that's how computer bugs got their name.
Wow.
Come on. That's pretty good right there. That's really deep somehow.
Okay. Good stuff.
This computer bug. All right, Johnny, I'm going to talk about this thing right here. It's very simple. Most people know about Thomas as one of the disciples. Let me read this out of John 20, and we'll just bounce it back and forth. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see it. I need to see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, place my hand into his wound on his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The door was locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers right here. He didn't say right here, but put your finger there and see my hands. Here, look at my wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer, but believe." He said, "My Lord, my God." And so he's like, yay, he got it. And then Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe." So I'm doing this in my devotions today. Sometimes the Lord does, by grace, let people see things. And Thomas got to see it before he really believed. I mean, that's just evident. But Jesus said something fascinating that's for you and for me and for Wonder Julie and for everybody else. And that is, blessed are those who do not see and believe. You are blessed, Johnny Hill, but you are blessed for many reasons in the Lord. But one of them is because you've not seen Jesus, yet you believe.
Amen, brother.
Why do you believe? Do you believe because faith is in your heart? Because you trust in the confidence in the Word of God? Do you trust because of his faithfulness in your life and all of those and more?
God has instilled something in me, as he's instilled in many of us, and he's placed himself in my heart. I know that he is who he says he is because of what he's put in my heart.
So you stand not seeing Jesus, but believing, and then because you did that, Jesus has blessed you multiple times.
Amen. Revealed himself even more.
Even more. And here's the thing. The thing is, when you think, well, if I see it, I can believe it. Well, in Christianity, if you haven't figured out, things are a little backwards.
Amen.
Okay? Like if you guys – anybody remembers the Superman comic books, you had Bizarro World. We've talked about this before. And Bizarro – don't get mad at me, folks. They were comic books. Back then, they weren't so dumb and politically correct and all that other rubbish. So here you've got Superman and then Bizarro World, and everything is backwards in Bizarro World. Everything that was going on. So Bizarro World in our faith is, in order to see, we believe. Mm. Wait, watch this. In order to receive, we give.
Amen.
And in order to live, we die.
Mm.
It's like the exact opposite of everything that we would know and structure is in the norm. And even though Thomas was one of the 12 disciples, so he gets a little push there. He gets a little blessing on that. And he had a passion for the Lord, and he wanted to be have evidence that he could utilize. And there's nothing wrong with where he was probably at. Not one of us would do any different, to be really honest. But Jesus made that proclamation. You believe and you see me, and that's good. But those that are going to believe me without seeing me, they are blessed. Just think of the blessings the Lord has brought into your life because you believe, but you haven't even seen them.
Amen.
And anybody, what do we call that? What do we call that belief? I would call that radical faith. I would call it faith. We have faith. And you know what pleases God? Faith.
Faith.
Without faith, it is impossible
to please God.
That's right. There it is, right there. So that faith puts us in this place where the Lord's like, yeah, I like it. I like what you're doing. I'm going to bless you for it. And it's like, yeah. I mean, just think of all the cool things that God has done in our lives, including save us, direct us, and deliver us from death like a bazillion times, right? Even though we don't even know it. All because we believe, but we haven't seen, right? Here's the problem for those that are like, well, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Unfortunately for some, the seeing of it will be too late for the believing of it. Oh. You don't want to be one of those people that goes, oh, I'm not going to believe it. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, here's God. Oh, now I believe. It's like, guess what? That's late. This late in the game. What does that make you think? Just does that bless you? Just you're blessed because you believe.
It makes sense, though. At the same time, the people that don't believe or that need to see it first, they tend to be walk in arrogance, the spirit of arrogance, pride. You know, all the things that will stand directly in the way between a relationship between you and God. So it really makes sense that we need to believe first.
Yeah, you need to believe to access that portal that God has granted to give us all the things that he wants to show us. It's really tough to see all the goodness that God has and all the kindness he has if you don't open that portal of faith. You don't get – and, you know, people say, well, why faith? I don't know. That's what God chose. You can either say yes or no. I would advise you to say yes. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. We do accept donations, and we are a little more bold about that now because we like doing the radio ministry, and we want to keep doing it. But we need your help to do that. It's just that simple. And so it doesn't matter if it's $5 or, you know, $50 or $500 or $5,000. If it's going to be like $500,000, would you get a hold of me? What is that? That's probably not going to happen, though. Just see PayPal. What is this? You know, knock, knock, knock. Who is it? It's the federal government. Hello? Trivia. We're going to do a trivia question, and I wanted to let Wonder Julie know because I didn't get a chance to talk to her. And we got tickets. We'll do tickets tomorrow. So we don't have to do them today. We will be doing in the next segment a trivia question, but not yet. First, I want to give Johnny a chance to share something that he's had on his heart, something that he was going through the weekend, and he brought up to me when we met today. We meet and spend a couple hours together prior, which goes by like in 10 seconds.
It really does.
Like, never get our stuff done. And I just want him to share it, and then I'll kind of take it from where he finishes off, and then we'll just see where it goes. But he said something that was really important, and we are in strong agreement on this. So go ahead, Johnny, just share with the people what you got in your mind.
Well, the Lord impressed it upon my heart to really point out how important it is to be prepared for the course of your day. One of the primary reasons that we continue to struggle with temptation, often committing the same sin over and over again, is that lack of preparedness. And the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. So in a sense, we want to look at life like the proverbial battlefield. If you were in the military and you went onto the battlefield, you would put on your armor prior to going on. So it's important as Christians to do the exact same thing as we deal with day-to-day life. So this brings me to Ephesians 6, actually 10 through 20, which tells us, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done so, done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What do you think, David?
It makes me think that a lot of people wake up, and we've talked about this on our 10-second deal before, about not presenting yourself. And it's a great point to be prepared for the day. And as you were reading that, you know, I've read this text. At this point, I'd probably say 200 times. But there's two things that really stick out. The word stand is used like three times. Like stand. And it's almost like, you know, the way that you take a stand on a day-by-day basis – I know you want me, everybody wants me to say, well, take a political side. And I am taking the only side that I need to. I don't need to turn left or right. I need to be top center because I'm a Christian. And I'm a Christian first before I'm anything else. No matter what country I'd have been born in, I would want to be a Christian. And I think it makes me think you got to take a stand in the kingdom each and every day because there is an enemy. And man, not everything in your life that goes bad is just lousy circumstance. Sometimes it's Satan who just doesn't like us. I think it's easy to forget that. I don't know. What do you think about
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to expect it.
Do you think that sometimes we get so there's such a concern about labeling everything demonic that you label nothing demonic? It's almost like it goes to the other side of things. You ever go through that personally?
All the time.
You know, if you ever read, there's a book called Piercing the Darkness. It's a book about demons in inactivities. And I remember when everybody was reading that back in the day, everything was demon this, demon that, demon this, demon that. And then it stopped. And now it's like, well, nothing is demon activity. It's like, really?
Well, you know, that's a good point because this is why the Lord brought this to my attention. I'm guilty of that myself. I remember when I was struggling with some really serious sin early in my walk, actually prior to my walk, and I underestimated Satan's attacks that would try to prevent me from confessing these sins. And God asked me to do something specific. And when I would go to be obedient and do what God asked me to do, I sort of lollygagged along and didn't really think about it much, didn't really expect to be attacked. And then Satan would come in and throw some distraction in, maybe an argument from my wife, maybe, I don't know, the kids would do something. And this went on for weeks, actually months, where I did not repent and didn't take care of this one sin that God told me to get resolved. And finally, what it came down to was I had to take it serious. This is what I did, David. I got down on the floor in a stance, in a football stance, like I did when I was in high school, when I played football. And I got down in a three-point stance. I had to take it that serious.
Wow, that's cool.
As if I was taking on someone
like
on the opposite team.
Side. Ah, so you had to kind of take your stand.
Had to take the stand.
Literally, but in a spiritual sense.
Absolutely,
wow.
Absolutely. And not until then was I able to deal with these sins that God had told me to deal with.
By the way, I just smacked Johnny's hand with a ruler.
I'm excited, brother.
In case you haven't figured that out.
Beating the table.
Okay, so here's something that people don't realize. This is going to blow theologies out. I like doing this. So if you don't like me, I love you anyway in the Lord. Just remember that. So Jesus said, the prince of the air is coming. He has nothing in me. Now, if you think about what that context is, Jesus is saying Satan has no inward path into my life. What happens for Christians is when we have sin that we're kind of like not dealing with or in denial or whatever the case may be, whether it's transgressions, sinfulness, or iniquity. And I heard somebody say not too long ago, transgression and sin. Sin is missing the mark. Transgression is crossing the line. But iniquity is doing it because you're going to do it anyway no matter what happens. And so the point is when we sin, that's an opening for Satan to take advantage. When you sin and when I sin, we definitely are playing in the wrong neighborhood. It might be a nice way to say it. And when you play in the wrong neighborhood, then you are more inclined to find influences and negative things of that wrong neighborhood. And so Jesus is like, he's got nothing in me. There's no point of entrance. There's no point of attack he's got in me because, you know, I'm pure unto the Father. There's nothing in me. But in us, if there's something in you and the enemy's taking advantage, you can't cover that with armor and kind of fake it.
Right.
You're going to have to, like, honestly go, Lord, I need help. And it's not like you got to make a big production of it. And Johnny's heard me say this before, and most of the audience has too. You don't have to make huge productions on all these things. Just bring it to the Lord. God is bigger. Okay? Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And so when you're having a hard time, just come to the Lord. I don't care. I don't care what area it's in. I don't care if it has to do with sex or drinking or money or stealing or bad characterization or anything along those lines. Maybe you're stuck in a lie and you can't get out of the lie, and the lie's never going away. And you're just like, oh, just building and feeding it. It doesn't even matter. I don't even care what it is. Maybe you made an allegiance with somebody you shouldn't have. Maybe you're in a relationship with somebody you shouldn't be. It's just simple stuff. Okay, I'm not even going to make this complex. Okay, look, if you got something and you're just like, bring it to the Lord and say, please help me. That's it. You don't do a Monty Python Spam-a-lot right for it. Just say, I need help. I don't know if people are like, well, no, you have to come and you have to beat your chest. And see, this is what Jesus did. He set us free from the ceremonial aspects of the law.
Hallelujah.
And he set us free from the penalty of the law. So if you just come in the name of Christ and say, help me, I need help, Jesus. Bam. There it is. See, the law is moral, it's ceremonial, and it's civil or cultural. Okay? The moral law never changes. Sin, from a morality point of view, murder, not killing, murder is sin in the Old Testament, murder in the New Testament. Doesn't change. Civil law is cultural law, and any time the cultural law fits in line with the Word of God, it's fine. When it breaches the Word of God, like paying for abortions, which is murder, then that's a problem. But ceremonial law was eliminated by all of the things that Jesus did, which is the differential between the Old and the New Testament, which people just don't kind of grasp because it seems kind of simplified. Okay, well, then make it hard. I'm not going to do it for myself. And what I'm asking you to do is say, is there anything in me that Satan has an access point? And what was me? Okay, settle down. Bring it before the Lord and ask for help. That's the whole point of walking with God.
Makes sense, brother.
I don't know. It doesn't seem complex. Now, I don't do that all the time. Like, my bigger problems have to do with me, God, and I want an illustrated book that says, this is your life in the next 24 months, and this is where you will go. I'm one of those guys. I like that stuff. And then I think the Lord finds that amusing because he's like, no. So then I have to say, help me not to be, a pain.
But you know what? Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I got to keep doing it too. It's like it's why I go through that trial. It's the same reason why people have patience trials over and over and over again. Because you haven't learned on the first one. Why do I have to go through this patience trial again? I can't stand these. Okay, that's why. Because you said that. Because you're not patient. So anyway, yeah, I think there's a point to that. And the Lord works in that. I mean, I'm a full believer in every aspect. I just want the telegram that tells me, here's the next 6 months. I think the Lord's like, yeah, you'd ruin it. That's probably true. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We've got a very, very in-depth teaching, so you better get ready. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. you can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. We have fun on this show. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. I will have you know, if you listen to that last segment, that's the first time Johnny led a segment. And see, you're thinking, well, wait, you know, it's like, well, wait, nothing. That's part of what we do. What we do is I wish all of the people of God would be doing all of this stuff with everybody all over the place. Don't you want the kingdom to advance?
Absolutely,
I
brother.
Think that is the goal. Let's do a trivia question. I'm trying to think if there's any coming up. We do have basketball tickets we're giving away tomorrow that for up-and-coming games. What do you got? Christmas coming up, New Year's coming up. Here's the thing. You don't even know what your life is going to be beyond tomorrow. So here's an idea. Let's not worry about what tomorrow brings. Let's just know who brings tomorrow. How about that? That's just a good idea.
Good stuff.
Trivia question. Here we go. Let's see if you guys are on top of it. This is an easy one. Okay? I know. I'm going to start. It's Monday. I need a little easy. Need to keep it simple. Which disciples witnessed Jesus' transfiguration? There are three accounts of this. Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. Which three disciples were there at the Mount of Transfiguration? 972-445-0770. We'll let you pop in when you get that opportunity. Before you get there, I want to talk about something that actually Samson had asked me about, and I don't think I gave him all of the answer I was looking to give him, so I wanted to make sure to kind of come back behind it and give a little bit more further explanation. I want to talk to you about the Gospels. If you're not aware, there are four Gospels, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. And you think, well, why would there be four Gospels? There's a trillion answers to that. There's north, south, east, west. There's this. There's that. All those great. The reason that there's four Gospels is because God said there are four Gospels. That's the main reason there's four. Some people say we got to have four, you know, elements to build a house. And okay. All right. Sure. I don't have a problem with any of that. I'm just telling you there are four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have Acts, which are the Gospels then taken to that next step where you see the manifestation of the teachings of Jesus working out in disciples' lives as they are establishing the church. And then from Acts, you go into what are called the Pauline epistles. The epistles are the letters written by Paul, and that goes Romans to Philemon. The reason that we don't include Hebrews is there's not enough evidence to say that Hebrews was written by Paul or by Apollos or by Barnabas. Nobody's sure. So then we go from the Pauline epistles to the general epistles. And that would be Hebrews through 1 John. You got Peter and you got John and you got James and then whoever wrote Hebrews. And then you have Revelation, which is the apocalyptic writing in the New Testament. That's how Scripture is broken down for people that study it. It kind of helps people understand, well, this is this and this is this. Okay, got it. But in the Gospels, there is something that happens from time to time that you got to be careful on. And what that is you'll see that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic Gospels. The reason they're called synoptic is because of the word synoptic means to see in a similar path. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a similar path to them. They see somebody. And John's in his own world. John knew Jesus the best, looks at Jesus as the Son of God. It took John to write Revelation because of how he thinks and is the expansion of his thought process. There's a whole group out there that's really into this concept called Q. We're not going to discuss that right now. I don't believe it's a valid approach, but I understand that people like it. I get it. That's fine. Cool. I'm not into that right now. We're talking about something else. The Gospels are – now watch this, and I'm going to back this up. Four encounters with Jesus Christ. Matthew and John have the direct encounter. Luke did it by gathering all the best information, and many people believe that John Mark wrote his under the influence of Peter. Okay, that's some of the historical evidence. But there are about four encounters. They're not exact history books. And you think, well, how can you say that, Dave? How are they not exact history books? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. Thank you. John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 says this. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Okay? This is a wonderful story about Jesus saying, "It's not my time to do nothing." And the mom's going, "He's going to do something." Right? This is how well they know each other. But look at verse 6, written by John, never, ever once disputed. Now, there were six stone water jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Okay, stop. Each of these jars held 20 or 30 gallons. Which one? 20 or 30? I don't know. 20 or 30? Well, which one was it? It was 20 or 30 gallons. Why does it say 20 or 30? Is that a contradiction? No. Because when John was writing, he's like, "Yeah, it was like 20 or 30 gallons." It's not meant to be a mathematics book, or you wouldn't have John go, "It's like 20 or 30 gallons." It's meant to tell you about this encounter with Jesus. And what happens is people see, "Oh, this is a contradiction." This is not a contradiction. He was like, "It's 20 or 30 gallons." How fast were you going down the road? 55, 60. I don't know, in that ballpark. "Well, my radar says you're going to 80, Mr. Spoon." Okay, that's not the point. The point is this. The point is John doesn't die on the sword of giving you the exact 22.379 gallons. He's like, "It's 20 or 30 gallons." But what we're doing is we're looking for that to be so specific. Why? Because that's how we think it should be. But that's not what God is trying to communicate. He's sharing his heart with his people, tells a story through John. John, as the writer, the human writer, not necessary by the Holy Spirit for him to define whether it was 20, 30 gallons, says 20 to 30. And people are like, "Well, I just don't like that. That just means that there could be, you know, contradictions." And I'll give you a perfect example. The number one contradiction in the Bible, by the way, is not what people think it is. It's this. Ezekiel 18:32. For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. That's Ezekiel 18:32. Now, Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And people go, that, there it is. It's a contradiction. Well, that's incorrect. It's a contradiction. What God takes no pleasure in is having to have death upon somebody because of judgment. It's not even a contradiction at all. But see, no, that's a contradiction. No, that's called bad Bible brains. And if you have bad Bible brains, you're not reading all the word. You're just reading some of the word. And what did Paul and Peter mention about bad Bible brains? 2 Peter 3:15 through 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. People are like looking at the things that are hard to get and grasping. And see, this is why it always bothers me when somebody says, I know everything there is to know. Really? Peter hung out with Jesus pretty close, wrote a letter that I could never write, right? And he's like, yeah, some of this stuff's tough. This is like deep theological stuff. And he goes, but unstable and ignorant people twist all this stuff to their own destruction. It's really, it comes down to a lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. The four gospels are not just four histories or science books. They have history in them. They have the accounts in them. But they're more than that. They're encounters with Jesus from people. John's encounter with Jesus was dramatic. It was so impacting. Think about how John wrote the Gospel of John, and then he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then he wrote Revelation. It was so impacting on this guy. And the Lord used him as a vessel. Remember, you know, Peter was mad because Peter was going to die kind of a yucky way. And he's like, well, what about this guy? What about John? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus is like, what's that to you? If I got a plan for him, why does that bother you? You do what I've called you to do. The reason that I bring this up is for people to grasp that the Gospels are deeper than that. Don't think of the Word of God as this limited element. If the Word of God is alive, then let it breathe, so to speak. In other words, if it's alive, then it's alive. And it speaks fresh to every generation because it's alive. And these encounters with Jesus Christ, they're transforming. They're altering. Guess what happens when you and Jesus have a meeting? He transforms your life. He changes you. And these accounts are, it's, the bibliology here is so fascinating. It's so incredibly accurate, these, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have such similarity in them. It's the most, one of the most miraculous things ever in all of literature is how close these three encounters list things. It's almost like bizarre. Never happened before, ever. Ever in all of the history of mankind. And then John comes along and goes, I see this all different. He just takes a whole different, people are like, what? Where? What? What? Where is he coming from? The reason that you have this is because these are communications. God using his Holy Spirit in the verbal plenary process of using authors to communicate his heart to the people. And that communication has transformed millions of lives for the kingdom of God. Think of that. All right, you take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, for you and I, God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the Scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's see. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. I do apologize for having maybe a little bit of arrogance going on. I did have a long day yesterday, so I'm just trying to pull it back up. I've been to the gym in 3 weeks. That's probably not good. I'm going to walk in there and going to go, who are you? Although they seem to be very consistent at taking out my fees, so I don't know. You never know. I do want to offer up the trivia question again to people. Very simple. The disciples, which disciples witnessed Jesus's transfiguration? Transfiguration on the Mount. I always found that to be amazing because there Jesus is just like as bright can be on the mountain, thinking, what did those guys think thousands of years ago seeing all that? I find that fascinating. I guess we already have an answer for that. So giving out the numbers seems pointless, but I do it anyway. 972-445-0770. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Bobby. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, brother. Now, this is a good question because there's a follow-up thought, and I bet you're going to get that too, but let's go for it right away. Which disciples witness Jesus's transfiguration? Which were the 3 disciples?
Well, I just walked in the room. There's Peter, James, and John.
That is correct, sir. You are right. Now, who was with, do you remember who was with Jesus on the mountain? What 2 characters showed up? Do you remember who showed up with them?
Moses and Elijah, I believe.
That is correct. That's good. You're really good. Now, here's the big thing. Ready? Here it is. Why Was it Moses and Elijah?
Moses and Elijah. Well, let's go back to the disciples and the Old Testament and the New Testament.
You're on the right track. There it is. So Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And so they used to say the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. But then Jesus in the New Covenant has taken a step up, and God says to the disciples, this is my son. Hear him. Listen to him. And that's that next step up for the covenant.
Right, New Covenant.
There you go. Good job, Bobby.
For the Jews and the Gentiles.
That's you. Great job, my friend. Excellent work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, God bless you. You have a wonderful rest of the day.
And you too.
Thank you, Bobby. Bye-bye. God bless you, brother.
All right, likewise.
All right. Hey, Bobby, rock and roll on that one. Good job. All right, good job. Now, if that person's calling, they want another trivia question, I can give them one wonder. I'm just saying, if they want another one, it's okay. I mean, I got, you know, a bazillion, trazillion, gazillion, bazillion of these. That's because I live for these. Okay. Now, if somebody's calling to complain about a trivia question, that's okay. We love you anyway. Don't you know that? All right, let's talk about this next segment here. This is in John. I'm going to read John chapter 3, verse 16. Not sure how many people know John 3:16. It's called the Gospel in a Verse. I was kind of kidding. I'm kind of thinking most of you know it, and you've watched sporting events where somebody dressed up really funny is wearing a clown outfit, but then has John 3:16. That part's okay. Listen to what the verse says and then catch this. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, I want everybody to think about that, so that everyone who believes, King James, he that believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, why do I bring that up? Here's why I bring that up. Because believing in Jesus Christ is not a one-time, one-and-done, now I'm through with it, thank you, son, life. It is a continual belief, not a one-time-and-done time, son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth, you ever see that in the King James? Believeth, E-T-H, the continual action thereof, believes, will not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Was that caller? Do we need something on that caller, or was that all?
No, she's gonna send you an email. She had a question that really wasn't something we wanted to put on the air.
Okay. The answer is 6. No, okay. So the bottom line is the gospel saves us, but we got to stay in the gospel. Go ahead, Johnny. Read your passage.
1 Corinthians 15, 1-2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
All right, so let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-2 is a great gospel portion in the scriptures. Here's the thing. The thing is the gospel saves you. Everybody knows the gospel saves you. But what people forget is that the gospel keeps you. That's what it says in the scripture. Am I right? Does it say
Amen.
That in the scripture?
Amen.
It says it keeps you, right? Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-2. Read it again.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Being saved.
Keep going.
Being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
All right, so you are kept in by that gospel. That gospel saves you, it keeps you, it sustains you, it keeps going in you, but you have to maintain that belief. In other words, you don't say, well, I believe the gospel is true, and I'll revisit that in 50 years. It's like, no, no, that's not how that goes. The gospel saves you. The gospel keeps you. One of the things I was sharing with Johnny, which we'll get into at some other point, is really if you look at the evangelists in the early church, and I'm just telling you, don't get mad at me, but the Bible says very clearly that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were given for the equipping of the saints and the building up of the body of Christ. The evangelists would proclaim the good news to the church. The good news is the gospel. The same one that got you saved is the same one that keeps you, is the same one you keep believing in. You don't go from the gospel, and now I'm done with the gospel, and now I go somewhere else. It's all based on the gospel. Everything in the Old Testament looks forward to the birth of Christ, birth and death of Christ and resurrection of Christ. Everything in the New Testament looks back to the birth and the death and the resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ is at the center. And when people miss that, they miss a whole big part. I mean, a whole big part. So that gospel saves you. It keeps you. It sustains you. It's an eternal message. It's what goes with you. But you got to believe in the present tense. Not, yeah, I believe that when I was 15. And now that I'm 16, I don't have. Okay. First of all, you better not be talking like that when you're 16. Or you got other issues. But the other part about that is that you don't just believe. It's not a one-time belief. It's a life of belief. You believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, that he resurrected, and that he's coming back. But you continue to believe in order to be sustained and kept in. My whole goal in telling you all this is not to believe and then turn your head. To believe and to look up. Because the same Jesus that saved you from the penalty of your sin will save you in your situation. It's amazing what the scripture says, how we receive in Christ one blessing after another. One blessing after grace upon grace upon grace. There's not one person listening to me doesn't know that's true. You know it's true. You know that God has delivered you time and time and time again. And I will say this, and I'll say it in a certain, hopefully I say it with the right spirit. The gospel should never be boring to you. It's at the core of what connects you and God. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is what makes it available. The friendship that you have with God. Jesus is the friend that introduced you to the friend, so to speak. He is the friend, but he had to become one of us in order to introduce us to him. It's, you know, here's the bottom line. You don't start in the gospel and then finish in the flesh. You start in the gospel, you stay in the gospel, you keep believing because the gospel saves you and keeps you, but you got to keep believing. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Oh, tomorrow's going to be a doozy, I warn you. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.